Welcome to Straight Talk, a lively discussion on tough issues impacting our lives. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Here's your host, Gene Wells, brought to you by Blackbird Investments.
Welcome to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. It is your weekly dose of news from the diocese and around the world, plus commentary on issues that oftentimes give us angst, and that is Straight Talk. You've got questions, we've got some answers for you. I'm Gene Wells, and I count among my many blessings to be able to broadcast here from Iowa Catholic Radio and in the Mercy One studio, and also grateful for Blackbird Investments for sponsoring my show. Doing what is right. Doing what is challenging because it is right. That is Blackbird Investments. When it comes to building real estate, they look to create solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird believes in giving buildings a new life. For more information, BlackbirdInvest.com. Well, joining me at the top of our show today is Bishop Richard Pates. Bishop, welcome to Straight Talk.
Well, thank you, Gene. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
We're moving into this warm season, getting a little bit of the warm breezes from Florida. Feels good, huh?
Well, I have put away all of my snowmen at my house,
good.
So therefore there is no more snow.
They all melted, probably.
we won't have any next year.
Right. No snow, no snowmen.
That's right.
They only appear periodically.
Yeah, that's right. So I haven't put up Easter bunnies yet, but where did that ever come from anyway? Easter
bunnies? Well, they're hopping around.
Yeah.
They're hopping around where I live in the courtyard there, and enjoying the spring weather along with us.
Well, Bishop, you last week on your show on In the Heartland with Bishop Pates, you had one of our representatives, Cindy Axne, and it created a bit of a stir among some of our listeners, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to share your perspective on having her on your show.
Okay, well, thank you, Jean. It's quite simple. You know, I'm really grateful for those listeners to make their concerns known and to, apprise their situation, and grateful for that. And certainly want to offer my apologies for whatever, concern, or as you might say in your introduction there, angst. And, we'll certainly attend to this in the future, aware of their situation, et cetera. So I think that basically, covers what we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what, I understand what they're saying about it. I accept their revelation, their concerns, apologize. And certainly, hindsight is 20/20, and moving forward, we would be very aware of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So after 9 or 10 years on the radio, this is the first time that I think such a concern has been raised.
Well, this is going in the big book, Bishop. Yeah. one mistake in 9 or 10 years. No.
Right.
I think that the challenge for all of us when we have representatives that don't necessarily correspond with our beliefs, that does give us angst. And to have, I think the rub was that because Cindy represents some of the those beliefs that are so near and dear to us in the sanctity of life, and she is supported by Planned Parenthood and others of that belief, it just rubs us the wrong way that we would even have her on Iowa Catholic Radio, but she still is a representative for Iowa.
Right. Well, as I say, I acknowledge this, and I apologize, and, we won't quibble with what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, Bishop, thank you so much for taking time this morning to be with us. I do appreciate that, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate your calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye now.
Well, folks, today's show, we are talking about generosity. And does the church or God really ask us to give so much that sometimes we feel guilty about that. And I have two folks that come from different perspectives here with me today. Eric Heininger is the managing director of Eden Plus Fundraising Consulting based in Des Moines, and he provides guidance to the diocese and to parishes on all aspects of Catholic missions in central Iowa. And Scott Flood is a CPA, and he is the CFO for ICAP LLC. Now, both of them come from, one comes from the tax perspective, the other comes from the generosity perspective. So, before we, delve into our conversation with them, a little background. So let's set aside the argument of whether God intends Christians to tithe or not. The number of people who give at least 10% of their income to the church is less than 25%. This is, proof that 80-20 rule is alive and well. 80%, 20% of the people give 80% of the contribution. So, but interesting, during the Great Depression, 3.3% was the average contribution of Christians to their church. Yet today, not in the Great Depression, it averages 2.5%. That's according to nonprofit source, a 2018 study. It's crazy to think that Depression era giving was higher than it is now. I mean, during the Depression, people relied more on generosity to make ends meet. I know I hear stories of my mom and how, they survived during the Depression because of the generosity of others. This sort of shared struggle tends to bring people together and helps them understand the value of community. And so perhaps we've just gotten too soft. Life's too easy for us. According to a 2015 ShareFaith article, people with salaries of less than $20,000 a year are 8 times more likely to give than someone who makes $75,000 or more. People who attend church half the year, half of the Sundays, half the Sundays or more, give an average of $3,000 to charity, whereas people who never attend religious services give an average of $704 to charity. So just a little bit of interesting facts around charitable giving, and we'll have further conversation about that and so much more. Lots of events coming up, folks. Check out iowacatholicradio.com. The fish fries are all on there. The Iowa Catholic Men's Conference, the Ladies Mosaic Luncheon, and, the West Power Lunch. Sorry. All of those are coming up. And then we have a golf outing coming up June 14th, our first one. So that'll be very fun. Always go to iowacatholicradio.com to get all of those details. When we come back from this break, we're going to visit with Eric Heininger, Managing Director of Eden Plus Fundraising Consulting based in Des Moines, and Scott Flood, CPA and the CFO for ICAP LLC. We're going to talk about generosity, how to, how much can I deduct? You can text us your questions and comments at 515-223-1150 throughout the show. We love to hear from you and answer your questions. It's time for Straight Talk. Right now on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you, Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, for underwriting Catholic Women Now. As an authorized independent agent, Cindy's team can provide health insurance options from Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa. Cindy Schulte at 1315 50th Street in West Des Moines, or on the web at cindyschulte.com. 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Products available at Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Thank you to Confluence Brewing Company for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Confluence Brewing Company, brewed locally and featuring regular, seasonal, and limited release beers available in their tap room and at local stores, bars, and restaurants. Confluence has a beer garden for you, your family, and friends to enjoy. Confluence Brewing Company is located at 1235 Thomas Beck Road off the bike trail south of Gray's Lake, and online at ConfluenceBrewing.com. Confluence Brewing Company, where good things come together, ingredients, ideas, and friends.
Kick off the summer and dust off your clubs with the Iowa Catholic Radio Best Shot Golf Outing presented by Permar Security at AH Blank Golf Course Friday, June 14th, 8 a.m. shotgun start. No matter your expertise, be part of the fellowship and fun with Iowa Catholic Radio. Foursomes and individuals are welcome. Friday, June 14th at AH Blank Golf Course for the Iowa Catholic Radio Best Shot Golf Outing presented by Permar Security, 8 a.m. shotgun start. For more information and registration, visit iowacatholicradio.com.
Man up.
Gary Dolphin. Awesome interview. That was fun.
That was great. I didn't know he was Catholic.
I didn't know he was Catholic.
Really, yeah, faithful.
And knows what he's doing. Any parting thoughts on The Greatest Generation?
You know, I was thinking as we were talking to Mr. Dolphin, we really have a responsibility to learn from the example of those who have gone before us.
There's so much to be learned from that generation, especially in today's world.
It's time to man up with Joe Stopulis, Monday mornings at 9.
R&R Realty is letting others see Jesus Christ at work through uplifting programs like Man Up here on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and I do encourage you to text us at 515-223-1150. When do you ever have two experts ready to answer your questions by texting? It's what we have here, live and local on Iowa Catholic Radio. My guests are Eric Heininger. He is the Managing Director of Eden Plus Fundraising Consulting, based in Des Moines, and providing guidance to the diocese, parishes, and all aspects of Catholic missions in central Iowa, and Scott Flood, CPA, and the CFO for ICAP LLC. Thank you, both of you, for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Jean.
Okay, so I always like to provide some definition and background around our topic, and, you know, we're talking about generosity and how much should we give and not give, and you know, you hear the words charity and philanthropy, and it's like, is that one and the same? Eric? One and the same, two different bailiwicks, what's going on?
I really think of charity and philanthropy in two different ways. When I think about charity, I think about those day-to-day needs, and I think about the works of folks like Catholic Charities who are providing the services that are short-term and very necessary. And then I think about philanthropy as being the sort of long-term solutions. So when we think about sort of Catholic education, or we think about the opportunities that really set people on a path for long-term success, philanthropy, when you break it down, is split up into philia, love, and anthropy, which is related to humans. So it's the love of humans. And when we think about how that sort of distinction occurs, I often will bring up the example of feeding the hungry. When we feed the hungry on any given day and we provide food at the food pantry, that addresses today. But when we give them the tools that are necessary to give them a life that is sustainable and is successful, that is the philanthropy that we're talking about.
So whether it's providing long-term food resources or helping to build the building that can provide the long-term resources, that is more of the supporting the cause in a way that allows them to continue.
Absolutely. And I think both are necessary to how we live our life as a community.
Okay. So, Scott.
Yes, Jean, I see it more from a donor perspective because I'm working with donors quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Philanthropy is more of a strategic plan over time, usually, mm-hmm. to support a charity or a nonprofit area, where I think charity maybe focuses more on the organization itself. People saying, I want to support that particular charity. And I think people usually have four or five charities they like to give to. So I think the philanthropy really is more of a intentional focus on over time with a strategy.
Mm-hmm. Can people without a lot of resources be philanthropic?
Absolutely.
I know that was kind of a loaded question, but you know, oftentimes you think, you know, big words, that means you have big bucks. And you know, when I was, you know, young mom, two kids, you know, tying my paychecks together and hoping they stretched, you know, you didn't really think of yourself as a philanthropist. You know, you would, you know, put some dollars in the collection plate and, you know, pray that God was happy with that. But you really can be philanthropic, because what I hear you say from both perspectives, that it's more of your attitude and planning on how you can support.
Yeah, and we see many children who I think represent philanthropy. You know, they are doing things where they're setting up lemonade stands, which will then support the local children's hospital. Or we see those who, like you said earlier, are folks who have limited salaries, but they're giving tremendously to the organizations that they support and that they believe are part of our community and serving those in need. Mm-hmm. We all have that opportunity. And I think that whether you're young or old, whether you are rich or poor, you have the opportunity to make a difference.
Well, and I do believe, I mean, we're talking today a lot about the money side of being charitable or being philanthropic, but it is, you know, equally important, the time and the talent piece. You know, how much time you spend, you know, in prayer for your charity of choice, and then how much you give of your talents, whether it is a friend of mine helps at Ruth Harbor, and this last weekend they were, you know, she was cleaning up the living quarters, and it's like, that doesn't sound very glamorous, but that's being philanthropic because she's looking at, well, it's a short-term thing, cleaning. But it is providing a home.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think philanthropy is somewhat of a learned practice. So I think families, strong families, a lot of times pass that on, and they'll gather and make family decisions on how they want to, what charities they want to support. So I think it is kind of the responsibility of the family to teach that to their children.
I love it when I see families that are ushers at church, and the little ones are helping. They love that basket, and to be able to move it from aisle to aisle, and they don't know at four that they are, you know, giving of their time or their talent of helping. But that is certainly a way to build that, and teaching children to be generous, I think, is, because they're naturally selfish. I mean, little kids are naturally selfish.
We all are.
Well, fine. But yeah, this last Christmas, my daughter helped her kids go through their toys and, you know, threw away the broken pieces and found the toys that were nice and to give those. And I think that's a first way to start, where kids are giving of something that they think is important to them. What do you think?
I think that children learn from their parents and from the adults that are around them. And we see that occur in so many ways. It is a learned trait, though, I believe. I think we need to set a good example for those who are around us. Whether that is, you know, you're sitting in the pew and you are able to hand that dollar to a four-year-old who may or may not want to actually put it in the plate that moment. But that's where you're able to teach those lessons. And I think that's an important piece of our Catholic education, is to say that there are folks in need and we have the ability to help them.
I recently got my grandkids that are here in Des Moines each a little wallet, and when they come to grandma's, they get to help me with big chores that they get paid for.
Like shoveling snow.
Oh, they love to shovel snow. But their project this weekend is going to be picking up sticks in the yard. So, but then they get dollars to put in their wallet, and then they take their wallet to church and they decide what they're going to, you know, put in the basket. Now, you know, last weekend Drew put in a quarter because he thought the coins were cool, but it didn't make any difference to me whether he's putting in, you know, three pennies that he's giving. And it's just so cute to see them get so excited when it's time for the basket? Yeah. Yeah, they'll learn from that. So let's go to that. You know, we read in Scripture about tithing being 10%, and the statistics told us that we're at 2.5, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no rule. I was reading recently that, you know, Old Testament, you had to stick to the 10%. I mean, that was an absolute rule, but, you know, it's not addressed in the New Testament at all. So what do we believe? I mean, I'm a tither. I'm a true tither now, and mm-hmm. It took me a long time to get there, because getting to 5% of net and then 7% of net and then 10% of net, and then you had to go to gross, and you're like, gross, I don't want to go to 10% of gross. Talk about that, Eric, the tithing philosophy and why that is so important for our souls.
I think that tithing is a great starting point. It's in many ways the floor. Not everyone participates in that sort of meaningful way, but I think that there are many folks throughout our community who give more than 10%. And so to be able to think about that is wonderful. And, you know, give what you can, give in a sacrificial way that makes sense for you and your family. But when we think about sort of what's a good starting point, 10%'s a decent way to do it. And when you are thinking about sort of gross versus net and you're getting down to this nitty gritty, is that really sort of in the meaning behind what tithing is?
I think it's in the Bible, the tax code.
The tax code?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good.
Isn't
the IRS
true,
is
Scott?
Definitely in the
no?
Bible. And so to have that as sort of a good guidance for where we begin, I think is an important lesson. And for many of us who give more than 10% or give slightly less, there are other ways. When we think about sort of volunteerism, you talked about time, talent, and treasure. That volunteerism, the IRS will say that volunteer hour or so is worth about $25. And if you want to think about that as part of your total tithing, I think that makes sense. But that's still a big sacrifice. When we think about 10%, if you are, you know, making a livable wage, are you giving 10%? It's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to really intentionally think about it. Or if you get to the point where you're not intentionally thinking about it, you're doing it just truly through love. I think that's wonderful. And that is the true teaching.
Well, and the rule of thumb I've heard is that 5% to the church, 5% to others, if you want to follow that tithing model. So it's not like the church expects you to give 10% to the church and then you're like, yeah, but what about, you know, the Mary's Meals or the
CTO.
Or the CTO. Oh, the bottom line, it's for the kids. And Iowa Catholic Radio. Yeah. We can do all of our plugs. Yeah. But yeah, so the church really doesn't expect us to give 10% to, you know, on Sunday morning.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think 10% is the goal. I'm guessing from the statistics that you just read that we're probably not all there. And you mentioned the concept of net versus gross. I think most people don't think that way. They think gross and they think that's a tall mountain. They just can't get there. But I think to start with net and then maybe as your example, and then work your way up to gross it would be a great starting point. But I think any kind of tithe is going to require some pain and suffering. I mean, you're going to have to say no to something to say yes to a 10% tithe.
Well, and I think that's the thing, too, that if you sit down and go, they're talking about 10% and I make $40,000 a year, I don't have $4,000 to give. You know, it's like, well, yeah, figure out what you're giving now in all the things and then say, oh, okay, that's 1%. I'm giving $400 a year. Okay. I want to take it to 1.5% this next year. I want to take it to 2%. And, you know, it might take you 5-6 years, but I know personally I have been blessed beyond belief since I've started tithing. I mean, it's just one of those things that you're just like, wow, I can't believe that that really happened.
The more you give, the more you get back.
I know. That's what they say. Interestingly, the catechism, for those of you that read the catechism and know how it works, it's paragraph number 2034. And it says, the faithful have the duty of providing for the material needs of the church, each according to his abilities. And that's what you were getting at, Eric, and that, you know, when I was in banking, I had this woman came in that her minister, it was wasn't a Catholic church, but had a gave a sermon that there are 10 we need a new roof and there are 10 people that are going to give $1,000. God spoke to me last night and I know that's going to happen. This little lady came in and she wanted to borrow $1,000. She was on retirement income. She had nothing. She had nothing. She was living in subsidized housing, you know, and to tell her that, no, she wasn't one of the 10 that God was talking about. You know, it's hard. It was hard for her because she really felt like that's what she was supposed to do. But we have to look at it from both that pragmatic standpoint.
And I don't think she had nothing. I think she had heart and she had faith.
Oh, absolutely.
And she had the ability to pray. And sometimes when we're talking about the needs of the church, we need people who are able to give that for that material need. We have people mm-hmm. who are able to volunteer as part of that initiative. And then we have people who can just pray for it. And all of right. those pieces are necessary.
Equally important. Yeah. So yeah, I was looking at it, Julie, from the banker perspective. Yeah. Hey, Scott, I've had people say to me, you know, I don't really feel like it's I'm being generous when I get all these tax benefits. What do you say about that? I mean, as a CPA, yeah. it's like everybody wants to take advantage, right. but...
No, I think it's still a fundamental decision of whether we're going to use our money to support charity and the efficiencies that charities bring versus supporting the government. I mean, we have to pay... Our taxes, however, our taxes are reduced when we make charitable contributions. So we are making a choice that, and I think with a charity, you get a little more say on how that money's spent. You can mm-hmm. pick out your charity so you can direct your resources to where you want them to go. Where when we pay our taxes, we don't have a lot of say, I guess, other than through our representatives on where that money is spent. So I think there is a choice there. Mm-hmm. It's just not, yeah.
Well, I suppose you could give to a charity and then not take the tax deduction that is connected with it if you really felt that way.
I wouldn't advise that,
Jim. Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the tax laws that changed this last year that went into effect in 2019 and how that might impact our charitable giving. This is Jean Wells. You're listening to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Hi, this is Marty McDonald with McDonald Imaging Solutions. It has been my joy to support Iowa Catholic Radio's new event tents and the Pope on a Stick fan used at the Iowa State Fair. McDonald Imaging Solutions is a family-owned business with thousands of promotional items to choose from. We do custom labels, printing, branded apparel, and we provide all kinds of promotional products. I personally help any business, big or small, to build their brand with corporate apparel and promo items. McDonald Imaging Solutions, building brands, attracting new customers. Online, McDonaldImagingSolutions.com.
Doing what is challenging because it's right. That's Blackbird Investments. In 2013, Blackbird Investments was born from the inspiration of St. Kevin. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird Investments believes in giving buildings a new life. BlackbirdInvest.com. Blackbird Investments, doing what is challenging because it's right.
Thank you, Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, for sponsoring my show. John Lee and Eddie in the Morning on Iowa Catholic Radio. Golden Rule, servicing Des Moines for over 15 years. They obey the rules to live by, especially the Golden Rule. Online at GoldenRulePHC.com. Thank you, R&R Realty Group, for supporting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. R&R Realty Group is an Iowa commercial real estate owner and developer that provides services for all commercial real estate needs, including brokerage, interior space planning, real estate management, construction, and more. R&R Realty Group has been accommodating business expansions and real estate solutions since 1985, solving commercial real estate needs. R&R Realty Group, establishing long-term relationships built on trust.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the sports report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full-service print shop, ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. BigRedQ-DesMoines.com.
Welcome back to Straight Talk here on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and we are a live and local show produced here at Iowa Catholic Radio, one of the 11 locally produced shows. And we have in studio, live with us, you can text us if you have a question or a comment, or if you disagree with what we're saying, you can do that too, 515-223-1150. My guests are Eric Heininger. He is the Managing Director of Eden Plus Fundraising Consulting based in Des Moines, and he provides assistance and guidance to the diocese and parishes and all aspects of Catholic missions in Central Iowa. And Scott Flood is a CPA and the CFO of ICAP LLC. So, Scott, you probably haven't had any questions around the changes in the tax laws and how that relates to charitable giving. So if those haven't done their taxes, which I haven't done yet.
I haven't done mine either.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But those of you that are applying for CTO, get them done and apply by April 5th to CTO. Come on, folks. You want to get that done. So.
Yes. Effective January of 2018, we had a sweeping tax law change that didn't directly impact charities. I mean, charitable giving is still pretty much intact, but indirectly it is going to have an impact on charitable giving with what they did with the standard deduction. A charitable deduction is an itemized deduction, so you have to exceed your standard deduction before you can get any benefit from a charitable deduction, and they've increased those standard deductions, $12,000 for a single person, mm-hmm. $24,000 for a married filing joint. So sometimes your charitable giving doesn't rise to the level that it's going to actually exceed the standard deduction. So a lot of people maybe are saying it doesn't matter anyway. Well, it does matter, of course, to the organization, mm-hmm. but you may not actually be able to itemize your deductions related to your charitable giving and therefore not get a benefit. Mm-hmm. That's the major change. There are some other changes that have gone on that you're aware of. In fact, the states, because of this, they've limited the amount of state and local tax deduction to $10,000 per year. And what that's done is caused the states to try to implement a strategy where we'll give you a charitable deduction for your contributions to the state. And then you'll get to take a federal charitable deduction, but you'll get a state tax credit, and that's where our CTO issues come in. Mm-hmm. And right now, when we go down, just talk about that a little bit for the CTO donors. There's proposed regs out here by the IRS issued, and effective August 27th, your CTO contributions, according to the proposed regs, will not be 100% deductible on your federal return. You'll have to reduce the amount of donation by the state tax credit, which in the CTO case is 65%. So you'll get 65% state credit, but only a 35% federal charitable deduction after August of 2018.
But Scott, now that did not go into effect.
Well, it's proposed. It's not a final reg. But so you've got to make a choice. Are you going to follow the proposed regs, or are you going to take a chance that the proposed regs will never become final? And then if you go that route and you take 100% federal deduction, then if the proposed regs go final, you'd have to go back and amend your return is what it would amount to. So
they can do that?
They usually make final regs effective at the proposed date. That's the history.
Well, I don't like that.
I know.
I mean, because really, what a pain.
Yeah.
You know, I think of all of our donors that, you know, the average gift is $1,000. You know, that's a lot of tax returns to have to be amended.
Right.
And you wouldn't think the federal government would even want to mess with it.
And they may not. They could make it prospective, mm-hmm. But they have not decided. Those are just proposed regs. So, mm-hmm. If you want to go under the old law where you take 100% federal deduction, you can still do that.
Let's take a step back. I know there are a lot of folks that don't understand the difference between a tax deduction and a tax credit. And the tax credit isn't just CTO. There's through Endow Iowa and a lot of other entities. So if you could give that explanation of
right.
a tax deduction versus a tax credit for folks that may not be familiar with that.
Okay, sure. The tax deduction is you take your tax rate times the amount of the charitable contribution, and that's your tax benefit. So if you're in a 30% tax bracket and you give a $100 charitable contribution, you're saving 30%, $30 in my example, in income taxes. A tax credit is better than a tax deduction. A tax credit is a dollar-for-dollar reduction of your taxes. It's not factored by your tax bracket. So in the case of a CTO tax credit to the state of Iowa, you get a 65%, in our example of $100, you get a $65 reduction of your state taxes, a dollar for dollar reduction. So tax credits are better than donations or tax deductions.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Endow Iowa, Eric, that's a lot of folks took advantage of the Endow Iowa credits when they gave to Sharing God's Gifts. How did that work?
So the Endow Iowa program was a piece of legislation by the state of Iowa that allowed individuals to make donations into endowment accounts. And endowment accounts, for those who may not have a strong background in sort of the technicalities of philanthropy, is a way to give money that will then grow in perpetuity. And the money that grows with the account will then be used for its charitable purpose. And so this is a great way for individuals to make a gift today that will live beyond themselves, beyond their children, to support the causes that they find important. And this is actually, the Endow Iowa program has now spawned similar legislation opportunities in South Dakota and Minnesota, and they're really using it across the nation as the example of what can happen in terms of philanthropy in states where it makes sense. One of the benefits is that the money stays here in Iowa for the long term and will continue to benefit local causes.
I mean, Iowa is the number one state in like everything.
It's incredibly generous. That's true.
So as we talk about the changes in the tax laws, do you think that folks will be less generous, Scott?
I think by looking at it, you would think the lower the people who are not able to itemize deduction will have a disincentive, you could say, to give to charity. But much of the giving, I think, is given more out of a commitment to charity versus the tax deduction. I know in the case of the church and some of those four or five your special charities, you give not because you get a big tax deduction, but because you are interested in the well-being of that organization. Mm-hmm. So I think you could say objectively yes, but I don't think that'll play out. We'll have to see. Mm-hmm. Your example of the depression person giving more than they didn't do it for a tax break back then.
No. There really weren't a lot of tax laws. I think it was a much thinner, the tax document right. Laws were a lot thinner. So as we talk about giving, and this kind of goes back to the charity versus philanthropy question, giving for the greatest impact. And Eric, as we were preparing for today's show, that was something that you wanted to address. Giving for the greatest impact. How do we know that we're having an impact?
I think that comes in a variety of ways. First, sort of, you can think about it from the donor perspective about making sure that the organization gets the maximum impact from those dollars and from the dollars that you're able to contribute. So when we've talked about tax credits and tax deductions, you may have the ability to give more than you would have otherwise. And that then benefits the organization because they can use each of those dollars toward their mission. On the other side of things, I think that there's a lot of accountability that we need to hold our organizations to in terms of making sure that they are having a great impact. And that impact, when we're talking about charity, is different from philanthropy. When we're talking about charity, many times it is that hand-to-mouth critical need. And in terms of philanthropy, we do want to see the long-term impact. And so to collect data and to have stories around individuals who are receiving services. So, for instance, in 2018, there were 8.3 million people that were served by Catholic charities across the country. That's just an incredible portion of the U.S. population that is being served by true charity. And then when we think about the students who've been educated in Catholic schools, that's 1.8 million students across the United States. And so we hold each of them to different standards, but we hope that they are doing the most good with each dollar. And I think that we should be good philanthropists and ask those tough questions in order to make sure that the money is being used wisely.
Yeah, I get really frustrated when I see these reports of these major national charities and the percentage of their contributions that go towards administration and the salaries of their chief executives when, you know, really the rule of thumb, well, you probably know the exact number. I think it has to be less than like 9% goes towards the administration of an organization to say that they're being frugal and being good stewards of the resources that are given them. And I think that's something we have to ask the charities that we're looking at to give.
Yeah, and for many organizations, you can review their 990 tax form on GuideStar.org, which I
GuideStar?
GuideStar, yep. Mm-hmm. Where you can dig in and see a little more information about how they're using each dollar, whether it's for missions or for the overhead that exists. And there are times where it makes sense to have a lot of staff. You know, if you are providing counseling services, you're going to have more staff,
right,
and more overhead. But if your intent is to provide more meals, that money should go toward supplies for those meals.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does take a careful eye when reviewing those documents, but that transparency, I think, has greatly benefited our charity across the United States.
Well, and let's talk a minute about private donations. With our government, there's so many grants available, and yet it's really private donations that I believe should fund a lot of these initiatives, that we shouldn't rely on grant dollars. What's your take on that? I mean, maybe I'm just crazy, but I don't think the government should be in charge of everything in the world.
Well, in 2018, there were $410 billion given to charities across the United States. And when you look at the breakdown of where those dollars came from, 89% came from individuals, households, and family foundations. So that really says that the main contribution and the main responsibility is coming from households.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about sort of we always assume that corporations and government grants are providing the majority of these funds. But in reality, this is the responsibility of families because they know they can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Scott, what's your personal take on that? I mean, maybe aside from CPA work.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, in the Catholic Church, is the doctrine of subsidiarity, I think, is a main one. And I think that is in favor of these local charitable organizations where the dollars and the decisions are made at the grassroots level that are closest to the need. I think that approach is way more effective than a government-run program with all the... You know, I deal with the IRS, and it's a necessary part of my job, but it's not always the most efficient when I'm on hold for an hour to talk to somebody. So I do think charities hold a special place in our society, and with their efficiency and their passion, that just really can't be matched through a government grant.
Mm-hmm. I do get really frustrated when I look at some of the government programs that are supposed to help people, but they keep them in a state of poverty because they become so dependent on the federal government's resources or the states that they can't move out of that. And
And I think that's where we can see the accountability piece come back in. Mm-hmm. When families are the ones who are giving, and they can ask the questions. They can also change very quickly, where you may have a government grant that lasts for years and requires metrics and has a long lag in terms of how we feel those dollars are being used and then reported back. When it comes to families, they have the ability to adapt and adjust with the needs. If suddenly a need is less pertinent or less urgent, they can direct their dollars to something that is more urgent.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the practical sides of giving, you know, the types of requests that you get and where do you want to use your funds to do that? Some of the giving options, like planned giving, that type of thing. Maybe, hopefully, you have some questions about what that would mean for you and what types of gifts you can give, and how that is beneficial to you. So you can text us your questions at 515-223-1150 throughout the show. You're listening to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
Thank you, Divine Treasures, for your support of Storm Alert Weather. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures is where you find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. 5701 Hickman Road in Des Moines. 515-255-5230.
I'm Jean Wells, Executive Director of the Catholic Tuition Organization, with great news for families who want to send their kids to Catholic school. Today, more families than ever will qualify for tuition assistance from CTO. Even a family of four with household income less than $103,000 now qualifies. Have questions? 515-237-5010. What's our bottom line at CTO? It's for the kids and their future.
Men, the Iowa Catholic Men's Conference is Saturday, March 30th at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church, starting with an 8 a.m. Mass and conference to follow. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers and Deacon Randy Keel are the guest speakers for the Iowa Catholic Men's Conference. Deacon Harold is an author, evangelist, preacher, and co-host for EWTN's Morning Glory, heard weekday mornings on Iowa Catholic Radio. Deacon Randy is a marriage and family counselor. The Iowa Catholic Men's Conference, Saturday, March 30th at St. Francis of Assisi. Find more information and register at iowacatholicradio.com.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells. And my guests today are Eric Heininger. He's the Managing Director of Eden Plus Fundraising Consulting, based in Des Moines. And he provides guidance to the diocese, to parishes, and really all aspects of Catholic missions in central Iowa. And Scott Flood, CPA and the CFO of ICAP LLC. So, as we wrap up today's show, we want to talk about some real practical things and the types of requests that we get. You know, it seems like everyone is having a capital campaign, which is really for building, right?
Or endowments.
Then is it a capital campaign or is it an endowment campaign?
I think the term capital campaign can be used interchangeably, but we can talk about that more.
Okay. Well, now's a good time.
All right, great. So I think that when we talk about capital campaigns, we talk about them as sort of an extraordinary over and above campaign. When we think about offertory or those sort of operating needs, that's one piece. But when we're talking about sort of these really tremendous, impactful projects that do require a greater initiative, whether it's setting up large endowments for scholarships at schools across our diocese, or if we're talking about putting a new roof on a building or a new parish hall or a new parking lot, which is not the fun part, but is a necessary piece of our life.
Ooh, we're going to have new stripes in our parking lot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it's important. And so the things that we can plan for that are consistent, I think that's where operational funding comes from. And when we're talking about capital campaigns or endowment campaigns, that's really where this is intended to be a one-time initiative that is over and above what we normally do.
You know, the frustrating thing, though, Scott, is when, you know, you'll have a parish that has a capital campaign. And if for those of you that have served on finance councils, you'll see that the regular contributions fall down. And it's like people are just transferring their charitable giving from their regular gift over to the capital campaign so I can say I pledged. And you know, serving in a variety of capacities in the church, that just doesn't work because we still have to keep the lights on.
True. What's the answer? Huh?
I don't know. You know, how do I think when we are talking about those capital gifts, those capital campaigns, we have to really pray about that and say,
absolutely.
You know, maybe I'm giving $5 a week in the plate offering. I can't just say now I'm going to give $5 a week over to the capital campaign. It's $5 and now I need to give another gift over here. And maybe that's only $2 a week. Or maybe it's 200 or it's 2000. You know, it depends on the person's resources. But how important is that when you work with the parishes or at the diocese that you see that shift from one fund to another and that becomes detrimental to the organization?
Generally, when we are conducting capital campaigns, we make it very clear at the beginning that this should not be at the detriment of operating funds because it's so important, whether it's sort of just literally keeping the lights on at a parish or the things that are necessary parts of parish life. If you are not providing those operating funds, suddenly something has to disappear. And that is not a fun conversation, nor is it an easy decision for the folks who need to make those decisions. So that's where you start. Setting the expectations early, I think, is an important piece of the puzzle. But people are excited about, you know, building a new church or having the ability to make a concrete difference in what they're doing.
And pun intended.
I was not ready for that one. It's really great because you feel like you're making a difference in your life and in your community. And so that sort of excitement can not get in the way, but then is harder to deal with down the road. And so then someone likely picks up the difference, and that's a burden on them. And so
it's a blessing and a burden.
Correct. And so it's easy to get excited, but it's important to know that the operating funds are really what makes your parish, your Catholic Charities, your favorite organization run on a day-to-day basis.
Let's talk about events, which is a great way to raise money. But really, from the tax standpoint, Scott, you know, you buy a $100 ticket to an event, and then you get to deduct the whole $100, right?
Not really.
What?
You need to reduce it by the value received, right?
Well, and I think people so oftentimes don't realize that. Oh, I'm going to go to, you know, the dinner in December for Iowa Catholic Radio. The ticket is $75 or whatever. Then I get to... I gave it to a 501c3. Yeah.
I think the charity should provide that information.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because really you're getting a value. Mm-hmm. You're getting the dinner and maybe, you know, the proportionate share of the speaker. And the ticket's $75 because really 25 or 30 of it or 50 of it is intended to be a fundraiser. So just have to be aware.
Yeah, events are wonderful to better understand the needs of the organization and to hear some great stories. Mm-hmm. But if your intent is to give the most money, and we talked about it earlier, sort of giving for the greatest impact, you may want to forego that specific event and the costs of that event and give to the organization that you love.
We've only got about 3-4 minutes here to wrap up, and I want to get to a couple of topics around how people give, like the planned giving options, donor-advised funds.
Gene, I think donor advised funds are kind of a hot new way of giving. I'm seeing, and they're a little bit came out of the tax law change in that you're able to basically bunch your deductions into a year. First of all, maybe explain what a donor advised fund is. It's where you give a contribution, to a charity that's a donor, and then you can dole that out with grants over a period of time or years. So I can bunch my deductions, give a large contribution to my donor advice funds, which is kind of a poor man's private foundation, and then over time I can designate where that money will go. So in order to overcome that $24,000 standard deduction, I can make maybe 2 or 3 years worth of charitable deductions to my donor advice fund. And then, over time, grant that out to charities. So we're seeing a lot more.
So the tax benefit is when you give a large sum initially,
you
as
get
opposed
to deduct
to
it when you give it to the donor advised fund. Yeah.
So this isn't like an IRA where you get the pre-tax benefit of contributing before you pay taxes on that.
No, you get the charitable deduction when you give it to the donor advised mm-hmm. fund, and even though the actual grant to the charity will take place over a period of years.
But this is different from planned giving.
Yeah, so planned giving is your opportunity to make a gift before the end of your life that will be part of your estate or can be part of an annuity product. And planned giving, many people think about that it's only for the wealthy or only for those who are at the end of their life, who are thinking about sort of meeting their maker at the end. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing more and more that individuals in their 30s and 40s are making commitments to the organizations that they care about most, whether that's, you know, writing the church as a beneficiary of their, you know, Knights of Columbus life insurance policy, you mm-hmm. know, whether that is 5% or 20%. Either way, that's wonderful and is a great way to contribute at a reduced cost in a way that means a lot to both the organization that you want to support and to yourself.
Well, and I've heard also that it's important to do it as a percentage, for instance, like 5% of your estate would go to the church, as opposed to saying, oh, I want $20,000 to go to the estate, but you live to 100 and you've now used up all of your resources. And you don't have $20,000 left, but you'd still have 5% of whatever you may have.
Right. And we don't want folks to feel guilty along
no.
the way.
No.
If you have the ability to give 5%, that's wonderful. To be honest, you're not taking it with you, so you might as well give more.
It's time to wrap up today's show. I want to thank my guests, Eric Heininger and Scott Flood, for sharing their expertise with me and with all of you around being generous. And really in your heart, calling, listening to what God wants you to do and how you can do that. We love that you are listening to Iowa Catholic Radio, and we appreciate your financial support to our organization whenever you can. We appreciate your prayers and your gifts. I want to thank our producer, Jimmy Olson, and I'm Jean Wells. And today, praying to Saint Matilda of Saxony, known for her generosity and her squabbling children because of it. Be our guide in giving to those in need. Straight Talk is live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and rebroadcast at 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Stay tuned for Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo. God bless.
Straight Talk every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio with Gene Wells. Brought to you by Blackbird Investments.